My name is Matthew Weber. I'm a church planner in Shawnee, Wisconsin. If you don't know where that is, let me know afterwards and I'll show you on a map. And we're about 30 minutes just outside of where our Wisconsin Mecca is. And we call that Packer Stadium. And that's in Green Bay, by the way. And that's where most of Wisconsin worships on Sunday. But we've been there for about 3 years, and we've had the wonderful privilege of seeing a church established, and we're looking forward to all that God has. Today, our topic is, it should be the real reason why, and I don't know, they got an S on the end of that statement there, and we're going to be looking at the topic of teen suicide. Teen suicide, and I don't know why they always give me the tough topics, but here we are. Okay, so if you got your Bible, let's go to the book of James, and we'll start there. Book of James, chapter number 4. And we're going to go on just a little bit of a journey. I will tell you this. Lunch starts at 12:15. We'll probably look at just getting out of here just a little after 12. There is absolutely no way I'm going to be able to cover this whole, the spectrums of everything that we're talking about here today. So I'm going to highlight a few things. I'm going to land on a conclusion, and we'll talk about some victory steps. So we'll start in the passage where we're really going to end today. James chapter number 4. Did I say James 6? Did I say James 6? Oh, okay. James 4. I was looking at verse 6. James 4. But we're going to look at verse number 7. Do you have verse 7 in your Bible, James 4? Okay, good. I hope you do. If not, we'll find you another Bible. James 4 and verse number 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's an important passage when we talk about the topic that we're talking about, because it does lay out for us really the progression of getting free from the thought or the concept of suicide. In fact, if you were listening to the testimony this morning, you really heard that verse in action. That's how Miss White got free. She submitted herself to God, and God delivered her from the power and the influence of the enemy. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Jesus, thank you for the privilege of gathering together with my friends here. I pray that you'd help us as we come to you and to find really some thoughts and some ideas, and really clarify even in our own hearts maybe some things that are going through that we think about, or things that are burdening our own hearts, or maybe some family or friends. Now, Lord, we look to you to be a help to us today, and you promised us that everything that we need to know is in the Bible, and I pray that you would teach us this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask a question here this morning. Does anybody know the leading cause of death among teenagers today? Anybody know the leading cause of death? If you were to...
Suicide?
Nope.
Drug overdose?
Nope.
Automobile accidents?
Close. Accidental death injury. They die in accident. No, that's it. It's accidental. That's it. They die in accident. And I guess if you were to say it, you know, it's just maybe teenagers do a lot of dumb things that put themselves in positions where they shouldn't be. You could say that, I guess. I did a lot of dumb things as a teenager, and I'll get there in just a minute. But the second leading cause of death among teenagers is suicide. And that's a big deal. Okay? That's a huge deal. And really beginning to look at the topic that we're looking at today, I want to just express to you that I don't feel like I even really can grab a hold of everything that our generation is going through, and I want to, but really beginning to look at what we're looking at here today and spending my time that I've had to go through our notes and look at everything, I'm thinking, man, this is a huge topic, and there's a lot of needs, and you guys are up against some really tough stuff in this day and age. And I really do want to be a help to you, introduce you to some Bible truth, and we'll talk about some things, and it'll take us a minute to get to some Bible things. But I want to mention, you know, teen suicide is the second leading cause of death, and that's more than cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. So the first leading cause of death is accidental injury, which leads to death. You could also put homicide, I guess, kind of in that thing, because you don't really plan on being murdered. But the other one is planned homicide. And those are big deals. In our nation, on a daily basis, there's close to 3,000 attempted suicides by teenagers between the grades of 9 to 12. On a daily basis, 3,000 times. And 4 out of 5 teens who attempt suicide give clear warning signs that they're going that direction. So I'm going to take a minute just in our introductory time to talk about some of those warning signs, and then we'll get into some other things. Let me ask this question. Have you ever thought about suicide? Have you ever thought about it? Do you know somebody that has? And maybe they have, and they've expressed that they're thinking about it, but you just didn't hear what they were trying to tell you. Okay, so let me give you some warning signs. If you're talking with a friend and you hear him say or her say some things that you're thinking, whoa, that was kind of weird, what was that? You should be thinking, maybe my friend needs to get to Jesus or get some help, okay? When they're talking about suicide, if you have a friend that talks about suicide, okay, like wanting to commit suicide or is interested in the concept of suicide, that should be a trigger. That should be a warning to you that, hey, my friend might be in some pretty big trouble. If you've got a friend or you personally are talking a hopeless worldview where there's no reason or purpose for your life, or you always fail or never do anything right, this is a warning sign. This is a trigger. This is something that should trigger us. If we're looking to be ministers, right, to people around us and to be a help, then we should be thinking, okay, what's happening here? If somebody says and is talking about they have no reason to live, or being a burden to the people in their life, they are trapped, which was mentioned this morning, or they're bearing some unbearable pain in their life. If this is somebody in your life talks like that, or if you talk like that, hey, let's talk after the meeting, and we'll get a better understanding of what's going on. How about some behavior? How about some behavior? Now, again, I'm going to fly through some things because I got a lot to get to. But how about some behavior? How about increased drug or alcohol abuse or use? Maybe somebody who's just beginning to get involved in some of those things. Investigating on how to commit suicide. You know, internet's an amazing tool at our disposal these days, but I'll tell you, sometimes some things shouldn't be looked up. Withdrawing from people, sleeping too much or too little, giving people a final goodbye. Boy, if you're getting a message from a friend or a phone call from a friend and they're saying, hey, I just want you to let you know, I really appreciate you, I love you, but I'm just calling to say goodbye for the last time. You should right away think, I need to help my friend. Something's going on here. Giving away prized possessions. Man, if you got a friend who's got like a Christian Yelich jersey signed by the MVP of the National League, and they come to your house one day and say, hey, I'm going to give you this shirt because I'm not going to need it anymore, you should be thinking there's something wrong with my friend, okay? On multiple fronts. Sorry, I know we're trying to be serious here. But if they also, in some ways, become very aggressive, there's somebody in your life that all of a sudden out of the blue, they get very aggressive, something weird, something has changed about them, you need to be thinking there's behavioral things happening in my friend's life or in my life or in my brother's life or in my sister's life. Something funny is going on here. Let me talk about moods that are warning signs as well. Depression, anxiousness, an apathy or not interested in life. Irritable, like we mentioned, and aggressiveness. Your friend or your family member, your loved one expresses some ideas of shame or humiliation. They just can't get past something. They always walk around with their head down. There's just always something that seems to be hanging over them. It's always cloudy in their life. Angry, sudden mood changes to relief. You got a friend who's always just kind of down. They don't, you know, they're just always kind of sad. And then all of a sudden, one day, they're like super happy. Like all of a sudden, they found the answer they were looking for. Okay, you should be thinking, hey, what happened? I have found friends are a good source or a good place to find out information. And the best way to find out information about what's happening in one of your friends' life is to ask questions. Hey, How you doing? What's going on in your life today? You know, I missed you at whatever thing we were doing the other day. Where were you? Man, we really appreciate having you around. Are you sad about something? Is there something that you want to talk about? Man, that's a friend. You know, a lot of us were quick to kick people while they're down. And that's not a trait of a friend, okay? A friend is somebody who's willing to ask questions and maybe even some hard questions and get involved in somebody's life who may be positioning themselves or saying or flagging down, hey, I'm in trouble here inside and I'm looking for somebody to help me. Teen suicide is a very real reason teens are dying every day. And I think all of us need to ask the question, can we find answers? What is Jesus going to teach us? Anybody in here ever been affected in some way by suicide? You've had a friend, a family member, somebody close to you, maybe in your church. Yeah, okay. Maybe even you yourself. Okay. Let me give you a few things here this morning. We are in the morning, and I'm used to saying that more than Brother Bosler is, obviously. And because I normally preach on Sunday morning and he doesn't. Did you know the Bible actually has many accounts of suicide? There's 7 accounts of suicide in the Bible. And if you're writing notes, I'll give you all 7 of them right now. Saul, the king of Israel, committed suicide. Do you remember that? He fell on his own sword because he didn't want to be taken in by the Philistines. His armor bearer, who was with him that day, also fell on his sword because he thought that if he went back to camp without Saul, everybody thought he killed him, and he didn't want to die that way. So to them, it was an honorable thing. Okay, so you've got Saul, you've got Saul's armor bearer, and I just got to make sure I got this right. Then you've got Samson. Do you remember Samson? How did Samson die? He killed himself. And it was an honorable moment. That's an interesting one to think about because you could say that God divinely enabled him to do that. Abimelech. You remember the guy who got the rock dropped on his head? And then he didn't want to die at the hands of a woman, so he asked somebody else to thrust him through with a sword. That one's a debatable one because you could say that's more of an assisted suicide situation. Here's a couple that we'll talk about a little bit. Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the chief counselor of David, and we'll go there actually in a few minutes, and that's in 2 Samuel 17. And we find him, he hung himself because his counsel wasn't taken up. And we're going to talk about Ahithophel because that's a very, very, that's a story, a narrative that God gives us a lot of details about how Ahithophel got to that point. Zimri, one of the kings, I think he was a king of Judah. I think that's right. His sin life had caught up with him and he finally burned his house down with him in the middle. And then the only New Testament account of suicide would be
Judas
Iscariot. Okay. One interesting note that I made of all these situations is that they're all men, which I thought was fascinating. I don't know if it really gives us any insight into statistically suicide today, but I thought it was interesting that it was all men. And they all had one thing in common. And that's where we're going to go with this message. But just note they all had one thing in common. And you make that note, and then we'll come back to it right at the end of our time. Okay, the first point I want to make about our suicide is the real reason teens are thinking about suicide. And I'm going to give you 2 points under this that you're going to want to make note of. There are many fake reasons given why teens, from a social concept, think about suicide. Poor social atmosphere. We have a very poor social atmosphere, environment in our world, very caustic in many ways. And people think that's, you know, the secular world, and I'm going to give you some secular thoughts, think that this is why we have such a high rate of teen suicide. And we do, by the way, have a very poor social atmosphere out there. Mental issues, mental health issues. And by the way, in our ministry, we come across a lot of mental health issues. There's a lot of folks out there who've got a lot of mental health needs, but this is not the real reason why. Family history. there are needs in the lives of homes and families, and I think there's studies today that say from a DNA standpoint, a father can pass down or a parent can pass down very real a behavior into the life of a child. They say that drinking can become a something that's passed down genetically. I don't know, but that's what they say. I tend to disagree that it's a real reason why teens are committing suicide. Too much stress. We're putting too much pressure on our kids. Sports, you know, church, the activities, this, that, and the other thing. They're bearing too much. not enough money. There's not enough money, so the kids don't have. They can't compete with the Joneses, so they don't have the things they need. They're under a ton of stress because of the money, so on and so forth. Which money doesn't buy happiness. It sure can't help them. Too much screen time. Now that one I'd say borders on probably a really good reason, but it's not the real reason. But it is a problem. Boy, that screen time's bad stuff. You know, the best thing you can do, can we sidetrack for just a minute, because that's all we've got. The best thing everyone in this room can do before you go to bed, about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, turn your phone off, throw it in the drawer, read a book like the Bible. Say goodnight to your mom and dad, tell them you love them, spend some time with them, and then go to bed. And you will wake up in the morning and you'll be like, whoa, I actually feel alive today. I do that often, and boy, I'm telling you, they call that sleep hygiene. Turn your phone off at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and don't turn it back on until you've had your devotions, you've ate breakfast, and you're walking out the door. Okay, so I just gave you, now see, wasn't it worth it just for that? There are many fake reasons given why teens are thinking suicide, number one, but number two, there are reasons why teens are committing suicide on a historic, there are real reasons. Number one, they cannot figure out how to resolve problems. They can't figure out how to resolve problems in their life. They don't have the equipment. There's nobody's helping them through the process of life. They're being left to just figure it out on their own. Anybody ever heard of a schooling movement called unschooling, where kids are literally left to just whatever they want to do? And we've adapted that really many ways into our societal platform. Okay, how are kids handling cyberbullies these days? When you're getting those texts or those messages or somebody's posting on your Facebook account things that are very painful and hurtful, they're saying things about you. How are we handling that? How are we really helping people? What are we doing when our teenagers are being violated sexually in these days? How do we help them? Because it's happening not just in the home or in church or at camp. It's happening in school, on the playground, in the streets, at a friend's house. How do we help? See, in our teens, and when they're left to their own, and they're in these very real life scenarios where it's hard, and these are things that they shouldn't be experiencing, they don't know how to handle these things. They don't know how to process this life. And they don't know how to resolve these problems. You know what they do? They run. Number two, they cannot imagine facing the consequences of wrong actions. To what extent will a teenager go to cover up some wrongdoing to a person and a violation to somebody else? What if their parents find out? What if their pastor finds out? Number three, they cannot comprehend the pain of people knowing what they did. How do teens react if a picture in a compromising position gets out to all their friends in their school? Any public schoolers in here? Not a one. Okay, good. Me and you, man, we're on our own. I've got a feeling, and I don't know because I haven't gone, but I've got a feeling a Christian school, the atmosphere of peer pressure is probably not much different. Or the atmosphere in a church culture is probably not much different What if the youth group finds out a picture about you that you don't want anybody else to know about? How will you respond? Anybody ever in here been shamed before? Man, I know what it's like to walk into school and have everybody in the hallway stare at you, talk about you. Oh, there's... What do you do? How do you handle those moments? Number four, they're not finding real answers to life's problems. And this is a real reason why teens are committing suicide, because they can't talk with people. There's no communication happening. Talking with mom and dad on a real level about the real burdens that they're facing is not happening. There's no pastoral interaction with the teens on a genuine level. There's no interaction with a Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor. There's no connection with God, and they're only given drugs to numb the pain. Hey, your kid's got ADD. That's the real problem here. So let's pump them full of some medication, and that'll take care of it. Listen, I'm working with, and I understand the dynamics of a family structure that this has happened to, where a young man went through some great and tragic things in his life, and his mom didn't know what else to do as a single mom, so she took him to the government program, and the government program put him on some medication because he was in trouble, and they didn't put him on just some medication. They put him in the psych ward, and then they pumped him full of tons of really bad psychotropics, and I'm telling you, this kid is just a shell of what he used to be. And that's the norm. And that's what you guys are up against. So there are real reasons teens are thinking suicide. But number two, I want to give you the very real reasons that some of you may be contemplating suicide. Okay, so we're going to go back over these. So just pay attention to what I've got here. The reasons you pick suicide as the answer: you were violated by somebody. Remember I mentioned Ahithophel? Oh man, we have no time here. Ahithophel. Does anybody know who Ahithophel is? Grandfather. Uriah was his son. You're right. Father-in-law, if you want to say it that way. So Uriah was his husband. Was his son, and Bathsheba was his daughter-in-law. What happened to Bathsheba? We can't talk about the Bible in here.
She was violated, and then the king killed her husband.
Yeah.
She had to just live with it and go live with her husband's murder.
Okay, so outside of socially who Ahithophel was, who was he positionally? What was his position in the kingdom?
Advisor.
Advisor to? The king. To David. He was David's chief counselor. In fact, when he spoke as the oracles of God. He stood in God's stead. When he said something, David knew this was the voice of God speaking to him. So we have this man who's probably the closest man to the king. His son was one of the leading men. He was considered a man of valor. He's listed in the men of valor. And David, because of his flesh, felt the need to violate this honorable man's family. He imposed upon his daughter-in-law, murdered his son, and socially destroyed his name. What would you do? What would you do if you were Ahithophel? Well, you know what Ahithophel did. He would do just exactly what you would have done. He would have figured out a way to side with David's enemy, who was who at the time? Absalom, David's son. And he would side with David's enemy because he's looking for an opportunity to get back at the king. And what he did was he gave Absalom some advice on how to kill David and socially humiliate him the same way that he was. Sleep with the concubines of David's on the roof so everybody sees you. Get him in a compromised position out in the field so then he can be killed by his own army. And when Absalom got counsel from Hushai, another counselor, Absalom decided to take Hushai's counsel. And when he saw in 2 Samuel 17 and verse 23 that his counsel wasn't taken, it says he went home, put his house in order, and took his own life, hung himself. And he did this because at the end of his life, when he saw that that justice wasn't going to be played out the way that it could be played out, he decided to take justice into his own hands. And he was going to proclaim the final act of justice. People are often violated by somebody emotionally. You know, I was talking to a man the other day, a friend of mine here at the church, and we were talking about high school and what it was like in high school. And I grew up out in the world. I wasn't saved. But man, when you got a girlfriend, that was a big deal. You walk through the halls with her and, you know, that's your girl and you guys are hanging out and everybody knows it. But everybody also knows it when you break up. And that hurts. Do you know breaking up with somebody that you're supposed to care about hurts? And that's painful. And that's why it's always good not to get involved in relationships until you're ready for marriage. Because you know those little relationships like that, they're like little mini marriages. And those little breakups are like divorce. And you know, divorce hurts. I'm a product of a divorced family. My dad left when I was little. And you know what? It totally changed my whole life. It was painful. And I was emotionally violated as a child. And throughout my life, I was again and again, through different situations, emotionally violated. Parents leaving, breakups, cyberbullying. Man, you guys have to understand what this is like. People say things about you on their Facebook page or whatever, the Snapchats and all this weird stuff. Man, bad deals out there. Teens are committing suicide because of what they're being bullied online. You don't have to say anything to anybody. All you have to do is text something. You ever heard that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Do you know that's the biggest lie ever spouted on a playground? Because your bones can heal and those bruises will go away, but those emotional scars run deep and they're really hard to heal. Can you remember the first time somebody said something really mean to you? How about a parent? How about your best friend when they said something to somebody else and it got back to you that they were talking about you? That boyfriend. Boyfriend, because we're Christians, we really don't have boyfriends, but you know, the guy that you kind of like, and then you found out what he really thought about you. That hurts. Physically, do you know teens are violated physically in a way today that's unbelievable? Sex trafficking is a big deal. Young teens, girls and boys, are being trafficked all around the world, being taken out of their homes, looking to run away and escape the things of their home life, and they're getting caught up with the wrong people, and they're being violated physically in places and in ways that you and I could never really understand. But it's happening at home too. Some of us go home to parents who may not know the Lord, may drink, they may have an anger problem, we may get hit or beaten. Some of us may know what it's like to be physically violated in a sexual way, having been touched a certain way by somebody who we're supposed to be able to trust. It breeds within us bitterness and anger. And I've got a definition that I like to insert here. I don't expect you to know it, but I want you to understand this about bitterness and anger. It's an emotion that we have, and it's a violation of our personal justice system. Bitterness is when our personal justice system has been violated and it responds a refusal to forgive. And when we find ourselves in that position, we are open to all kinds of things we never thought we would be open to. We're violated. We're often thinking suicide and contemplating suicide because we've been violated by somebody. But number two, we've also are contemplating suicide because we've hurt somebody. Can you think of somebody in the Bible who hurt somebody so bad that they finally took their own life?
Judas.
Judas Iscariot. Perfect example. Listen, anybody in the room ever done something and you thought, man, that was really dumb. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Anyone? Okay, good. I'm glad at least we're being honest here today. Sometimes we do really dumb things and it hurts people. We hurt them emotionally by saying things about them. We do things with words. We become a fountain, okay, that James talks about that should never be so. We say things about people and we set on fire, you know, with our words, things that should never be set on fire. let me just say this. We become the fountain of pain into somebody else's life, not because we're the source, but because we're hurting people. Let me give you this little phrase, and if you're going to write something down, this is a good one to write down. Hurt people hurt people. And if you're somebody here today that finds it very easy to hurt somebody, it's because you yourself are in a lot of pain. Oh, man, I got so much to go through. Judas was one of those people who got caught up in something that went way too far. And he failed to find a resolution to his life scenario. And I don't think Judas ever really meant to set out for Jesus to be crucified, but he found himself in a position where he got caught up in something that went way too far. Because Judas was not healed. I don't believe Judas was saved. And he was a hurting person who hurt somebody else. The third thing I want to mention here is under this one is that you have a problem. Some of us are thinking suicide because we're always failing. Can you think of somebody who committed suicide in the Bible who was always failing in life? The muscle man. Samson. The guy's life is just a model of one failure after the next. One, and it was the sexual realm that killed the poor guy. He couldn't handle his flesh took over. And sometimes we often think that failure is a permanent fixture in our life. And if this is all I'm ever gonna be, then I don't wanna be a part of this anymore, I'm done. We're told that we'll never amount to anything, and oftentimes we come to the place in our life where we believe it. And we think, this is who I am, this is who I'm always ever gonna be, then there's no purpose for my life. Now there's real pressure that we get under every day, and these are the real pressures that we get under. And there's oftentimes the guilt of our life and the life situation. We don't know how to get ourselves out from underneath. The pain caused by the people in our life. There's thoughts that we have, and there's lies we believe, and then there's games that we play. And oftentimes what happens is we come to the place in our life where we ultimately get to this one place. And remember I mentioned in the beginning, you're going to want to come back to this one phrase. There's one unique thing about all these biblical instances that I mentioned to you that come down to this. Now listen to me, here it is. The reason why these men and many of the people that we know of that have committed suicide comes down to this. They've come to the place in their life where the only way to get out of their problem or solve their situation is to die. That was it. They saw the only solution to their problem as suicide. To get to that place in your life, you have to not be able to see Jesus. Are you hearing me clearly? You have had to have gotten to a point where Jesus is no longer a part of the picture and he's completely out, because Jesus is the answer, isn't he? So I mentioned in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, you'll notice there it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm going to cut off a bunch of my message here to get to the answer because I want to get you guys to lunch here. Submitting to God is hupotasso. That means to place yourself or station yourself under, okay? If I want to get a drink out of this, I've got to get my mouth under where the water comes out. If I try to drink it like this, you know, it's kind of a futile battle. I'm probably not going to get as much water if I were to get underneath it. If you want to get something from God, you have to get underneath Him. It is only in that position where you are under God that you can resist the devil. Antihistamine. Does that sound familiar? Any moms in the room? Okay. Antihistamine. Does that sound like a word that we know? Anybody else want to help out here? Antihistamine. What is an antihistamine? It's a blocker that prevents something that's attacking our system. Like when somebody in here, anybody allergic to bee stings? Poison ivy? get poison ivy, you go to the hospital, you know what I mean? Because you're allergic to it. And what do they give you in the hospital? We call it Benadryl. It's antihistamine. It's something that blocks the attack of this thing upon your system. And listen, is not something separate than something else. It's murder. And murder comes from one place. Where does it come from? The enemy, when he's attacking our life. We call suicide something different because we don't see it as murder, because how can somebody murder themselves? But isn't killing somebody murder? Whether it's you or somebody else? And that comes from the enemy. And the only way to protect yourself and to stand against the enemy in our lives is to submit ourselves to Jesus, which I appreciated about Ms. White's testimony this morning, where she said, I got to the Bible, I got to Jesus, I got to the answer. Okay, so folks, here's what we need to know. When somebody gets to the place in their life where they only can see that this is the only way out, we need to know that they're missing the answer, and the answer is Jesus. So what do we need to do to help them? We need to get them to Jesus. Which means an unsaved friend, we need to get involved in their life. A family member, we need to get involved in their life. We cannot just pretend like it's going to go away. If they're showing warning signs, we need to get them to Jesus. There was a time in my life, and I'm going to give you a 2-second testimony. There was a time in my life, because of drugs and alcohol and everything that was happening in my life, I thought there was one of two ways out of this life. One of two. I was either going to die, and I knew I was very close to it, or God was going to have to step in and fix this thing. And from the moment I had that thought of either I'm going to commit suicide or God's going to deliver me from this thing, from the moment I had that thought, within a week, I was saved. God's very interested in helping people be delivered from the attack of the enemy. This is the real reason why. It's the attack of the enemy. He hates this generation. He doesn't want you guys to do anything. And I'm telling you, some of you don't have this problem, but you're going to run into people all over that do. You can help them. We just need to get them to Jesus.